Sit back and relax as today's program guides you through all things pop culture and the deepest corners of the internet. Warning, may cause brain rot.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to Brain Rot. I know it's been a hot minute, and I'm so sad that I've kind of left the podcast hanging for a moment in time. I did have a few regular content videos that I was working on, and you know, life just gets in the way of things, but we're back, and we are better than ever, and I hope you guys have had a fabulous rest of your summer. It is now September. We're not quite done with summer. We have another warm week ahead of us here in Toronto, which hopefully I can pack with a bunch of things to do outside, because I love when weather is warm and winters are long here in the Great White North. So I'm going to try to make the most of my time. I'm going to try to fill you guys in on what I've been up to. Today we have a few hot topics that we're going to talk about, namely Nikocado Avocado's weight loss. We're going to talk a little bit about Blake Lively, and we're going to talk about self-esteem and confidence and how important they can be in your life, how they can be achieved, and how they've affected me and different ways that I've gone to try to mitigate some of my self-esteem issues. Because, you know, we all have challenges in life, and sometimes we face obstacles at a very early age that affect us in the long run and can shape the way that we think and the way that we respond to the world around us. So I really want to unpack some of those things with you guys today. I think especially for my community, it's important to instill confidence and instill that sense of self-assurance that you can do anything you put your mind to and you are worthy and valuable and deserving of love. And I also just want to give a big shout out to Kingdom of Flesh and Fire by Jennifer L. Armentrout. This will be our next book review for our book club. So pick that up, whether you're doing an audiobook or you're doing just a regular book or library, whatever your source is, just get that book. I had fun reviewing the last one with you guys and hearing your feedback as well. And also, if you didn't catch it, it's in the last podcast episode in the latter half of that episode. So let me know what you guys think of the book. The first one, I just love talking about stuff that we've read or watched together. So just go check that out. Just jumping into a hot topic that's taken the internet by storm recently, Nikocado Avocado is a very deep internet celebrity who rose to prominence through mukbangs and extreme weight gain, very garish content that involved overconsumption of very, very unhealthy food, kind of like a almost perverted eating show, I would say. And it's not really my style of content personally. But you know, when you're scrolling on TikTok, you come across that kind of stuff from time to time, and it can be hard to look away. But for years, Nikocado has been the subject of a lot of bullying and a lot of criticism regarding the, I guess, glorification of extreme weight gains in order to get attention, and you know, just the shock value of his content and how it kind of can depict a very real issue that especially people in North America are facing with, you know, high obesity rates and unhealthy eating habits that sometimes are fueled by our capitalist society when you can really only afford fast food and it becomes a bit of a struggle when you're working your, you know, 9-to-5s and you're trying to afford all those expensive grocery bills and then needing to be able to cook on top of all of that. So I just think there's so much to unpack there with his history. But recently he revealed that a lot of his recent content was queued up and he was pulling the rug over all of y'all. He lost so much freaking weight. I think I saw some crazy numbers like 200 pounds and stuff like that, which is absolutely wild. There's speculation, I think, about whether he's done Ozempic or he's done a gastric bypass surgery. I'm not 100% in the clear on like what was done to help him achieve the weight loss, but either way, massive, massive feat, because even with surgeries or, you know, mitigations like those Ozempic type drugs, you have to have determination and willpower to make such a change in your life. And I think it's a very universal aspect to our lives where we sometimes can feel stuck in a rut. We feel that, you know, no matter how hard we work at something or do something, we're never going to see a difference in our lives. And I think that this could be seen as an example that if you keep your head down and you work hard, you can achieve anything you want and you don't have to do it for other people. ball and you can come out on top and surprise everyone. His video where he reveals his weight loss has tens of millions of views. Everyone is shook. People are proud and happy for him. I'm not necessarily a fan of his content, so I don't know that I'll be tuning in, but I will say like it surprised me as well. And I'm like, wow, like that's pretty inspiring. I think specifically from the viewpoint of just quietly working in the shadows to achieve your goals and not necessarily allowing the haters and the hate comments to win and just being successful in your own right at what you need to do in order to propel yourself to success in life, whether or not that's like being healthy or achieving career goals. And so in some ways I was very inspired by that. And you can also kind of mirror that kind of shock value reaction in someone like Christina Aguilera. I don't know if you guys are getting the same algorithm that I am, but she looks absolutely insane recently. It's like she's time traveled back in time. People are saying the Ozempic is Ozempicking. Like people are just assuming everyone now who's had a weight loss is, using Ozempic. I don't know. I can't say. I'm not sure. There does seem to be a trend recently with a lot of people, and some people have admitted to using it. And I actually do have friends that use it too. So all the power to you. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing, you know? If there's high demand for something, make more of it. As long as people are being healthy and achieving their goals in a way that is healthy for them, all the power to them. I will say, like, there was a period of time, I think in 2014, where Christina Aguilera lost a lot of weight and she looked similar to the way she does now as well. So it's not just a one-off for her, and sometimes people's weights fluctuate, but I do think she looks absolutely phenomenal. I hope she's coming out with new music. I've always been a Christina fan. I was supposed to see her in, like, I want to say 2018, but she canceled our tour the night of, which was so sad. But hopefully I'll get to see her again one day. But yeah, she's looking amazing. It's kind of inspiring because as well, she's like in her 40s now, and she was the scrutiny of a lot of body shaming back in the day when she gained weight post burlesque and stuff like that. And so I feel for her, and I think it's so inspiring that she's able to take charge of the narrative and she can really do anything she wants, you know? And no matter what age you are, you don't have to throw in the towel. You can keep serving it up hot and fresh. And I just think it's so inspiring and kind of ties into like the confidence of today's theme for this episode. And also someone who's really confident that's always inspired me is Blake Lively. Blake Lively has been the center of controversy lately online. She has been exposed for being a mean girl, and people have revealed an interview that she had, I think in Norway, with a journalist, where the journalist comments on her publicly known baby bump, and she responds by saying, "What about your baby bump?" Meanwhile, of course, the journalist not pregnant, which also she later turns out to be infertile, so it's kind of a sensitive topic for her, but regardless, it just spirals into this chaotic interview where, you know, Blake Lively's not really shown in the best light.
First of all, congrats on your little bump.
Congrats on your little bump.
What about my bump?
You've got two nice ones.
And these, they are kind of bumps, aren't they?
And then obviously there's controversy with her new film, It Ends With Us, which I did have a chance to go see at the theaters, just regarding her behavior on set and her breakdown and dissolution of relationship with Mr. Baldoni, who directed the film and also starred in it. And so I just feel like there was a lot of like bad press against her coming out and just stuff even from the Gossip Girl days that was being leaked and talked about or assumed. And to all of that, I say, obviously, I don't want to, you know, kick a horse while it's down. I don't want to keep reiterating all the things that people have talked about ad nauseum. However, I do think it's important to note that the type of scrutiny she's facing is, in my opinion, a little bit extreme. People are so hard on women in Hollywood. They want women to be catty. They want women to be taken down a peg. And Blake Lively has kind of been, in some ways, this like bubbly ray of sunshine, at least outwardly appearing. And I think people just enjoy to villainize those types of people in some ways. Do I agree with all of the, you know, things that have been exposed and stuff like that? No, but I also think she's a human being. We all have off days. We all make mistakes. And if those are some of her worst moments, I don't think it's that bad, y'all. I know she's used the T slur in several interviews.
Saying, quote, "I hope to have a few girls one day. If not girls, they better be trannies because I have some amazing shoes, bags, and stories that need to be appreciated."
But I look back at those and like, I see the intent behind her using it and I think it's funny and I think we all need to chill out, you know? It's funny because I remember when I was first starting to work as a bartender and I was in a customer-facing environment and I was so self-conscious. I would have people coming into my lounge looking at me all day, you know, interacting with me, making observations about me, you know, like specifically men coming in and making comments or whatever. And you never feel more self-conscious than when you are forced to be in a public service position facing people and you have to stay in a social environment against your will, even around people that make you uncomfortable. And so one of the ways that I found to mitigate it, and I told my coworker this, was to pretend that I'm Blake Lively because I looked at Blake Lively as someone who exuded confidence, just happiness and positivity. And I said to myself, you know, if she could find that confidence in herself and take that journey and really make the most of who she is as a person and the opportunities that she's given in life, so can I, you know? It's the classic saying, fake it till you make it, because everyone is going to have days where they're not confident in themselves, where they're self-conscious and they're struggling with something. And so sometimes you just really have to plaster on that persona in order to get you through a dry spell where you're no longer feeling confident and you're feeling a little bit of self-esteem issues. And I find the way that you can interact with people and present yourself to the world can be far more powerful than just something as simple as how you look or where you came from. If you walk into a room with confidence and happiness, you are conveying that kind of energy to people and they're going to notice that. And that's going to be a mind-blowing change for you as a person and the connections and the networking that you can do and the opportunities that you'll be able to achieve. I think through my journey on here, one of the most common questions that I get is, where did you find the confidence to be who you are and take the steps to get to where you are now today? And to that, I say it was a long, long journey. Like many of you guys, I did not have a lot of confidence instilled in me growing up, you know? I grew up in a really small rural town. I didn't have any representation for people like me. And although I had, you know, support from family in many ways, there was no overt support for me as, you know, a person of queer experience. No one was affirming me and uplifting me in my, you know, femininity and stuff like that. Yes, I had aunts here and there that were positive towards me, but the overarching theme throughout all of my childhood was that it was something to be ashamed about, you know, especially shame that was passed down from the male figures in my life and also male peers, classmates, things like that. And I had a lot of that kind of internalized shame planted onto me by the world around me because it was something that other people were insecure about. You know, who I was as a person, I was very unapologetic when I came into this world. I shot out of my mom like a cannonball, a bright pink, beautiful, glittery cannonball. I had those Disney princess high heels. I wanted Barbies, you know. I had all this stuff going on that was just so the opposite of what was expected of little boys at the time, and especially in my small rural community. And, you know, I just didn't care. I did what I wanted, you know, but eventually that was kind of pounded out of me in a way through bullying, through ostracization, through internalized shame and lack of support at home. And so that self-esteem kind of plummeted for me. And I sought validation in other ways because I think that we as people, when we're not uplifted for who we are on a base level and we're made to feel ashamed about who we are, the genuine version of ourselves, then we start to seek validation externally. And for me, growing up, a lot of the time it was through academic success or career success or being talented or smart. And so I valued those things so much to the point where if I wasn't getting the grades I wanted or I wasn't able to keep up with certain things, I felt like I had lost my sense of value. And you sometimes can get into those extreme black and white thoughts where you're like, okay, I'm worth nothing, you know? You put all of your value into one thing and you're either good at something or you're bad at something and there's no in between and you don't deserve any validation otherwise. And so you end up in this horrible cycle of yo-yo, of feeling on top of the world and then feeling beneath it. And I think I struggled with that for a very, very long time. I struggled to just feel comfortable in my own skin and to be who I wanted to be. And I think obviously transitioning like really helped with me, because I was able to just start expressing myself authentically and not feel challenged by the world around me. It made the world in many ways on a superficial level very simple. Although there may be people, you know, who completely disagree with my lifestyle or the journey I've taken and will not acknowledge who I am as a person now, I do not face that discrimination every single day because of the steps I've taken and the journey I've gone on and who I live as who I am now, you know? And that was kind of always my goal, was to make life simpler. And so I feel like along that journey, I like lacked confidence. I feel like when you are first transitioning, you have that humility and that humbleness where you are entering a vulnerable space. I might have been called a woman my whole life, but once I transitioned to become one, I feel like I was so hesitant to enter those spaces and to take up, you know, a position of power or, you know, vocal stance on issues, when I so much more respect the women in my life who grew up as women and were challenged with those obstacles throughout their entire lives, things that I will never know about, you know? And so I wanted to pay homage to that respect, but at the same time, I think it enabled me to be a little bit lower on the self-esteem scale because I felt like I was sliding in between worlds in a sense. And I did want to be respectful, but I think that a lot of my self-esteem issues early on were like, okay, like I'm just trying to, you know, exist as who I am. And if people see me as who I am after I transition, then that's good enough for me. They don't have to like, you know, treat me like everyone else. They don't have to respect me, but as long as they see me as who I am, you know? And I think that that is something I've overcome over the years and realized, you know, I'm just as valuable and worthy as anyone else. But there were certain periods in time where I realized, like, you know what? I have to embody the confidence of someone else that I admire. And I think it's a great way to inspire yourself to become a higher version, to become more confident, and to know that, you know, the difference between people that you admire and yourself is sometimes self-confidence. Fake it till you make it. Something I've learned just through working, through life experience, everything, is that sometimes the people that are in the highest positions of power, whether it be the CEOs, the celebrities, the popular people in school, they are not there because they are, you know, necessarily just smarter than you, or because they're prettier than you, or because they deserve to be there over you. They are sometimes there because they were just the most confident and they faked it till they made it and they got where they wanted to be, you know? Sometimes there's people that just absolutely should not be in positions of power and they made it there either through nepotism or through, you know, just blind confidence. Sometimes the people who have the most confidence are the people who should have the least. And so we live in that kind of society where, you know, confidence really is key and you can fake it till you make it. You just have to believe in yourself, you know? And so I do think that Blake Lively really inspired me in that way because I don't know, I just saw her as someone who was so positive and so bubbly and she just, you know, was living up to this version of myself that I wanted to be able to achieve as well. And so I think in some ways I have a little bit of a soft spot for her. I think another important part of confidence is also humility. I think that's what keeps you grounded and balanced in life, because you don't want to become narcissistic. You don't want to oversell yourself, because then you can end up isolating off the extreme end because people just won't want to spend time with you. But you, I think, really need to surround yourself with a strong support group. I think some of the things I've been through in the past couple of months, I just would not have been able to get through as easily without my friends by my side, because we all go through similar things in life, and being able to share those experiences with others makes us feel less alone and it protects our confidence a bit more, you know? We uplift each other, we make each other feel good. And I think if you're just, you know, a lone wolf, when you encounter adversity, when you encounter bigotry, when you encounter even, say, going on dates that make you feel not so good about yourself, if you have that strong support group around you, whether it's friends or family or found family, you will have people that value you and love you in so many ways that are greater than what something superficial like a relationship or a date or, you know, networking can do for you. So big shout out to Friends for just really being there, you know? Like, I feel like I could cry just thinking about it. Friends are so, so integral and so important. And friends are always going to be there through every chapter of your life, you know? And so I'm so, so grateful. And there's been a lot of changes in my life recently where I feel like I've had to kind of create distance in order to have healthier boundaries and to explore who I am on my own a little bit more and not use people as a crutch in certain circumstances, but also, you know, just trying to find the healthiest relationships that I can and to value my time and my space and the things that I offer to a friendship and to seek that reciprocation from people. And it's been a hard year for me. I've talked about it a little bit with you guys, but I feel like there was like a triple access point of like three people that were like just really some of my core people in my life that I kind of lost in some ways in the past year. It was like, you know, a triple homicide loss. But I will say like two of the, like one connection is gone for good, but two of them I feel like will come back eventually, but it will be forever changed because it has been changed, I think, obviously. But I just, I don't know, like going through those almost like friendship breakups and like real breakups, just like were really, really difficult and challenging for me to overcome. I had to like stop myself from like going back to those people many times over the, you know, several months since the fallout, because you seek that kind of familiarity and comfort from them. And you also, you know, want to be there for them through their hard times, and you want to accommodate their idiosyncrasies and things that they, you know, have needed help with over the years of friendship. But sometimes you have to set your own boundaries. And if they can't meet those boundaries that you would expect of anyone else, then it's never going to work out in the long run. But I always leave the door open for change and for new beginnings. But it was a real time of transformation mentally for me. I felt like I was like missing so much in my life. And at the same time, I felt like I was entering this new chapter and having so many great moments and just being sad for a while that I couldn't share these like exciting things with those people, you know? Like it's always the hardest, especially like they say when people pass away. And I felt this way sometimes too with my, I would say my grandma was probably the person closest to me that I've had pass away in my life. And when you think of something you want to tell that person, and you just can't anymore, and you're not going to get that kind of, you know, relationship again, where you're not going to have that relationship that you had with them, with anyone else. And you think of like something you want to update them on, or, you know, and you just can't, like in a very physical way, like, sure, you can like shout it to the sky and pray that they're there listening. But it's that sense of loss, I think, that's like hard to go through with these boundary changes and with these, you know, shifts as I near closer to 30. I think I'm reaching a more self-assured version of myself, self-advocating version of myself, and I'm knowing what I'm worth and what I command from people. And I say command because I feel that I'm always willing to give what I want to receive in life. And, you know, sometimes you realize over like a long period of time that certain relationships you have become draining and they're not a net positive or even a net neutral after a long time. And you have to reassess and recalibrate, you know, and give opportunity for those relationships to meet those standards. But sometimes they don't. And sometimes you just have to let go. Like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. And so those are some challenges I think that we face in life when we're going through different chapters, different transitions. In some ways, I felt more confident now than I ever have in my life. But I've also, you know, had those moments of insecurity because confidence is like a butterfly. You can hold it in your hands. It's delicate. You don't want to crush it, but it can also just fly away like that, you know? And as long as we're finding the healthy habits and patterns to sustain our confidence and to return to confidence as our equilibrium and not engaging in negative toxic behaviors or allowing toxic people to take up time in our life, then I think we'll be good. I will say I've had like interactions with specifically men, let's say, who, you know, I wasn't necessarily looking for something serious, but at the same time, you want a certain level of respect and commitment from people, even if you're not looking for your husband. Those individuals, sometimes they string you along, or they make you think that something's going to happen and then it doesn't, because they want that attention or validation, and they have their own demons to work through and their own immaturities, you know? And then the minute you put up your boundaries and walk away is the minute they try the hardest to win you back. And that's not a healthy cycle, right? And the minute you start engaging in that kind of behavior with people is the minute you're supposed to realize that it's just not going to ever work out. And so I think I've had some of those moments again this summer, just like the city boy vibes where they're just yo-yoing and you're just like not really sure what the vibe is. And I think it stems a lot of like insecurity from their end as well, like just wanting that attention. They want you to want them, even if they're not really that interested in you. And it's all a game of egos, right? And I think in life, there's so much more to be said for compatibility than worthiness. Sometimes you're just not compatible, whether that's in the bedroom or in the personality room or, you know, lifestyle, what you want at the end of the day or how you want to retire. Like, you know, there's so many facets to relationships and to things like that that just need to align in order for you to have a fruitful, happy, coexisting partnership. And it does not mean that one person is better than the other or anything like that. It's just that the compatibility isn't there, right? And I think seeing things from that perspective allows you to maintain your own sense of confidence and to not be so hard on yourself, because I'm definitely someone who thinks, oh, if someone doesn't like me, then there must be something wrong with me, rather than needing to just not be a people pleaser and not be everyone's favorite person. You know, like, you really don't have to be. You can just be yourself and you're going to attract the most authentic energy to you. So while you want to sometimes fake it till you make it, you want to be inspired by someone else's confidence, you have to take that inspired confidence, take that persona and apply it to your own interests and your own genuine identity. You can't just like take on a different persona and project that to people, because then you're going to end up in all these fake relationships and you're just going to feel a little bit empty and shallow at the end of the day. So just make sure you're checking in with yourself and keeping your authenticity at your own core. It's so, so important. I think for me, you know, with the transition that I've taken and the journey that I've taken and the complete change from who I was before to now, the confidence, the socialization, everything like that, sometimes I was getting caught up in the superficial of it all, and allowing that to distract me from some of my core interests and some of the things that I really valued at the end of the day, because I was having all this newfound attention from people who wanted to be my friends or people who were interested in getting with me or maybe having a situationship or a relationship that was way overlasting what it should have been, you know? And I think we just need to take a breather and take a minute, learn from these moments and realize, like, at the end of the day, what do we really value and what do we really want to achieve for ourselves? So that's pretty much it for my TED Talk today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It was a bit of a shorter episode, but I'm happy to be back doing more Brain Rot content for you guys. As always, comment, rate, subscribe. It helps with the algorithm. I am going to be releasing merch soon. And I also want to shout out that we are going to be doing YouTube memberships. We're going to have different tiers for different people. We're going to have the Brain Rotters. We're going to have the Brain Rot producers. We're going to have, you know, more exclusive content for you guys, because I just want to consolidate everything. I might diminish the whole Patreon thing, but I am forever grateful for everyone who supported me on Patreon. But just know I will be launching the membership here on YouTube as well. So stay tuned for that. Goodbye for now from me and Elio. Happy brain rotting, and I'll see you guys next time.